Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
It's time to vote. No, I don't mean to get all political. It's time to vote on the 3 themes that will launch the other stories into the new year, like the flaming, decapitated demon head that it is. We have over 20 themes in the poll, including haunted hotels, folk tales, parallel universes, alternative history, and even dragons. And a boatload more. So if you want to have your voice heard and help pick the new themes of the other stories, then head over and join the Facebook group now. That's facebook.com/groups/hawkandcleaver.
All in Your Heads. Written by Kev Harrison. Narrated by Alexandra Elroy. Tess spluttered as her face sank into a puddle of muddy water, waking her with a start. She sat up and breathed in sharply, taking in the morning sky over the rutted fields, body parts strewn in smouldering piles as far as the eye could see. She stood and stared toward the horizon, scouring the land for battle vehicles and finding none. She inspected her battle fatigues, the fabric torn and stained ochre with blood which might or might not have been her own. Tess! A voice behind her. She spun around and took a step backward, stumbling over a charred torso and landing on her ass on the sodden earth.
What the fuck?
She stammered. She felt the burning heat of vomit rising in her throat and swallowed it back down. Looming over her was herself. Only with a bloody cerebral tissue oozing cavity where the left side of her face ought to have been.
What's the matter?
Said the woman, the other Tess, extending a hand and dragging Tess to her feet.
Oh, this?
She said, bringing her fingers to her face and pressing the tips into the spongy visceral material, which gave off a sickening, squelching sound.
What the fuck happened?
Said Tess, slightly more composed. She leaned in to get a better look and found herself fixated on an arterial tube that pumped blood to the left eye like an earthworm struggling to burrow out of its tunnel.
A nanoshell happened. I still can't decide which hurt more, the claws as it burrowed in or the explosives when it went off.
The other Tess gripped her chin in her hand as though to think, her thumb slipping and sliding into the bloody crater. She held it in front of her face for a moment, then wiped the crimson mess on her combat jacket. Tess grimaced.
And how are you not dead?
Other Tess grinned.
That's easy. I am
I'm dead. Dead as a doornail. You think I could survive this? She pointed to the hole, turned her head from side to side, dawnlight glistening on cauterized meat. More to the point, think you could survive this? I'm you, you know. Well, I was you anyway. Wait, what? You're me? Tess stepped closer to the other her, pressed the node in her neck and watched her regimental ID roll across the subdermal display. TR37819.
Believe me now,
said other Tess, twisting the node back to the off position. We can't both be me, said Tess, swatting at a fly trying to feed on a graze on her thigh.
You're not listening, Tess, are you? I said I was you. About...
She grasped Tess's wrist and twisted it to get a look at her status band. The time was displayed in the top right quadrant. 5:47.
About 13 minutes ago.
She showed Tess her own band. The display locked at 6 o'clock sharp. Tess tugged her arm free, pulled her sleeve back down to cover the band. She glanced over her shoulder. But the battle's over. I saw the last of the war machines in flames before I...
Blanked out. Yeah, I remember it well, said other Tess. But there are survivors, individual combat units and unexploded ordnance.
It was one of our own nanocharges? She stared again at the cavity in other Tess's face, as a glob of burnt umber liquid oozed from top to bottom before spilling down the side of her face. Other Tess wiped away the viscera and chuckled.
They don't fucking discriminate, do they?
Tess choked back another wave of nausea, scrunching her eyes shut for a moment.
Why exactly are you here, anyway, if you're just the dead me?
I'm here to help you, Tess. I told you there are survivors. How much ammo do you have? Wait, I know. 11 bolts. Here.
She pulled a plasma-charged sword from a dismembered leg beside her with no small amount of difficulty, then handed it to Tess.
This might come in handy.
Tess took it and swung it to either side, feeling the heft of it. She nodded to the dead her. What about you? Weapons? Other Tess shook her head, her ragged mousy hair moving in clumps.
Technically, as a ghost, I can't intervene directly in combat.
Says who?
Dickens? Shakespeare? God, how the fuck should I know? What I do know is, you've got 9 minutes to live. Let's move, shall we?
She strode forward, not waiting for a reply. Tess followed, a hitherto hidden injury in her right knee sending burning pain up into her brain and distorting her vision every time she put weight on it.
There, 2 o'clock,
other Tess called out, arm extended. The violet eyes of a hunter machine rose up on dull metal stalks before it came swooping down at Tess. She threw herself back to avoid the hail of sharp, thorny projectiles that flew towards her, then rolled before hydraulic feed came crashing down, pummeling into the waterlogged soil. The machine attempted to pull back up, but Tess was too quick, springing back to her feet in a single motion before striking forward balletically, bringing the plasma sword down through the machine's biomechanical brain and rendering it a smoking hunch of scrap. She put a boo through the closure of the two eyes for good measure, watching as it sailed through the air, landing in a deep puddle. She looked up. Other Tess was hurrying away, little more than a dot on the horizon. She quickened her pace and shouted to her to slow down.
Why the hurry?
She asked as she caught up to her.
6 minutes, Tess, 6 minutes!
They wove around a burning heap of curiously near intact human corpses, tainting the air with a scent akin to that of overcooked bacon.
Why are we heading into enemy territory?
Tess asked as she unloaded two rounds into a lobster droid before its shiny claw could clamp around her right ankle.
There's a road up there. Well, what's left of one. If we follow it for a while, there's an outpost. Might even be someone alive there.
Other Tess pointed to the broken line of the road as it twisted through the countryside and away towards the faint outline of a fractured block of flats, filling the gaps between voluminous cooling towers. Water welled in Tess's eyes as she thought of life. After almost a week of this battlefield surrounded by only death, she wiped her filthy sleeve across her face and trudged on, trying to keep pace with her deceased alter ego. The ruin of the road drew closer with every step, obscured only by scorched hedgerows. Tess glanced at her status band. 5:57, read the display. 3 minutes. She cast a nervous look over her shoulder. The scene was motionless, but for the plumes of smoke rising from corpses, organic and mechanical alike. She grinned and broke into a jog, her legs protesting, finally bounding onto the cratered surface just ahead of other Tess. She turned to face her.
We made it!
A gravelly rumble wiped the smile from her face. Turning her head in the direction of the low growl, she could make out the shape of one last battlecruiser. A kind of artificially sentient tank, rolling slowly up the road, its caterpillar tracks oblivious to the bomb holes that littered the tarmac.
Did you know about this?
She scowled at her double.
Look out!
Other Tess screamed, her extended finger pointing at a series of metallic objects which arced towards them. The whistling sound as they cut through the air gave way to a hiss as an amber-coloured gas began to escape them.
Fucking tear gas!
Tess shrieked and bolted toward the high wall. She vaulted to the top and dropped to the ground, the muscles in her injured leg sending a sickening wave of pain through her as she landed. She scanned this new open space for cover and found it in the form of a burnt shell of an earth mover. The extended digging arm and a bucket bowed like the head of a long dead animal. Making herself as small as she could, she pressed her body to the cold rear of the vehicle and drew her bolt pistol, counted the 9 rounds she already knew were locked into the magazine. Other Tess rounded the corner.
It's going to come through the wall, you know it is,
she said, her voice solemn. I'm never going to get a bolt into the cerebral control device. The arm is too heavy. We're fucked. I'm fucked. Tess reached back over her shoulder, her calloused hands clasping the hilt of the plasma sword, as she mentally calculated the odds of getting close enough to strike through the cruiser's bionic brain before its variety of drills, saws, and artillery made her into another steaming pile of meat. 1,000,000 to 1? Maybe 2? The rumbling, dulled by the thick brickwork, went silent. The calm before the storm. Within moments, the electrical motor whirred, a throaty whine, followed by the sound of bricks being battered down, collapsing in uneven heaps. The grinding sound of the caterpillar tracks crossing the scattered bricks came closer and closer. Tess swallowed. This was it, then.
What about the optics? Said other Tess from beside her. Could buy you some time.
Tess fixed her hand around the handle of the bolt pistol and took a single step out from cover. She fixed her eyes on the compound left eye of the machine, its many violet lights combining and focusing on her. She fired off 3 bolts, then threw herself backward as a volley of heavy shells ate through the rear of the blackened digger. The shattering of glass and crackling of electricity told her she'd scored a hit. She edged to the other side of her cover, readying herself to take out the second set of optics. A whistle stopped her. Not from a bird. There were none alive for miles anyway. From a person.
A human. It's one of ours, said other Tess, craning her head around the edge of the hollowed-out machine,
as the battlecruiser spun through 180 degrees to find the source of the sound. Tess recognized her chance. Pulling herself as quietly as she could up onto the mainframe of the earth mover, trying to avoid the gnarled metal slicing into her as she climbed. She fixed her eyes on the sparkling sphere that was the machine's intelligence center and drew her sword as silently as she could. The whistle came again, louder. On the other side of the road, on the main battlefield, a single soldier stood in the carbonized skeleton of an old oak, caked in a mixture of blood and soil so dark it was impossible to tell where one ended and the other began.
"Come on, you big shiny bastard!"
he screamed, his voice raw. Tess took two long strides and leapt high into the air toward the machine. In a single motion, her hands clasped around the hilt of the plasma sword, drawing it and holding it high above her head. Two dull thuds and a rush of air from the tree distracted her for a moment, and she turned her head to see two nanoshells hurtling towards the machine. The robot swiped across the first with its drill arm, sending it spinning into the air, but it was too slow for the second. The shell's claws extended, digging through the metallic armor and into the bionic brain. A brief, silent pause seemed to still the whole world before it detonated, flinging machine parts and Tess flying through the air. The force of the blow winded her as her back slammed into the shell of the Earth Mover. Heat blooming from the small of her back. Shrapnel. She pressed a palm to it, brought it back red and wet. Bad, but not fatal. Clicking and whirring above her caused her to glance up, just in time for the claws of the nanoshell to rip into the flesh of her face. It burrowed through the meat of her cheek, tunneling inches inside before it froze for a moment that extended into an age. Sound, heat, and pain were all that she knew in that moment. She felt the vomit rising up her esophagus, and was powerless to stop it as it flowed from her mouth and the cavity that was once her nose and cheek and temple. She turned to face other Tess, a mirror image of her dying self now.
Why didn't you tell me?
She spat through the blood and the bile. Other Tess smiled, a horrific blend of lips held together on one side and a gory hollow on the other.
Even ghosts have a survival instinct.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Other Stories. All in Your Heads was written by Kev Harrison, narrated by Alex Elroy, edited by Carl Hughes, with music by Chris Dabrisky and Tom Robson. Once again, just a reminder to let you know that we are currently holding a poll to pick the next three themes of The Other Stories. We have over 20 themes available in the poll, including haunted hotels, folk tales, parallel universes, alternative history, and even dragons, plus a boatload more. So if you want to have your voice heard and help pick the new themes of The Other Stories, then head over and join the Facebook group today. That's facebook.com/groups/HawkandCleaver. Until next time.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.